Kindergarten daf Masechet Sanhedrin daf Yud Tes. Begin at the bottom of Yud Chesmen Beis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which opened up this parak regarding the halachas of a Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah said, additionally, chaylitz v'chaltzin, that the Kohen Gadol could do chalitza, let's say if his brother died without any children, or chaltzin, that if he dies, then they do chalitza to his wife, chulu, etc. Now, ask the Gemara, kapasik v'tani, the Mishnah told us that the Kohen Gadol, however, although he could do chalitza to his brother's wife if his brother dies without any children, but he cannot do any yibum. Now, that infers from the fact that it's unspecified in the Mishnah that lo yishna doesn't make a difference if his sister-in-law fell to him, meaning from his brother who died, mina erison. But lo yishna min nisuin doesn't make a difference if his brother was only engaged or married. Either way, he cannot do yibum to his sister-in-law. Now that asks the Gemara why. When we understand that if his brother ended up consummating that relationship, got married to his wife, so therefore when he dies without any children, his brother Kohen Gadol cannot do yibum because have asay. This widow, so there's no problem about Eishes Ach, because that's the mitzvah of yibum. Says when the brother's wife dies without any children, there's a mitzvah of marrying her, but here she's a widow. And moreover, Havasay, there's a positive commandment that the Kohen Gadol has not to marry her, which is forbidden because the Pasuk says a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula in B'yukah Chaf Aleph, which tells us Menada Be'ula, and this woman already got married, which means she consummated a relationship with his brother, which is a positive commandment. And V'leisa say there's also a negative prohibition in marrying her, which the Pasuk says Amana Le'yikach, and not let her marry a widow, which is a negative prohibition. So as we continue on top of your testament, Al, so we understand because of Einasei, a positive commandment of Yevam Yavaleh, which is that he should do Yibim, cannot be Deich Eloise Sevasei, cannot override both a negative commandment and a positive commandment, as Gemara establishes in the beginning of Masechet Yevamos. But Elamina Eris and Amai, but if they were only engaged, and then in the engagement, which is a halachic engagement, that of giving the ring, then, because they used to have a 12-month break in Talmudic times, and then his brother passed away, so then why is halacha in that case that he cannot do Yibim? Yavi asei v'yitcholais asei, as the Gemara in Yevamos establishes, halacha is that asei d'chalais asei. When there's a positive commandment, it overrides a negative prohibition. Here there's only a negative prohibition because she's still a basula, they never had relations. So she is considered a widow because she was engaged, but the positive commandment of Yibim should override that lois asei. So as the Gemara, you're right, but gezeira bi rishayinitz, a rabbinic decree of the first act of cohabitation of Yibim, which with that he fulfills the positive commandment of doing Yibim, atu bi'ishnia. We might come to then continue that relationship with his sister-in-law to do a second act of cohabitation, which is not anymore the mitzvah of Yibim. He already did it. Once he marries her and does that first relations and then he divorces her, he already fulfilled the mitzvah. So therefore, out of concern that, yes, it overrides the negative prohibition, but only that first time, since it might lead to a second act of cohabitation, therefore we say rabbinically he can't even do it the first time, even if she's just almanim in the erison. As the Gemara proves, it's Tanya Hachi, similar to the Braisa. If the Kohen Gadol went and he went and had an act of bia with his sister-in-law that was only engaged to his brother the first time, so kanu, it will acquire her as a wife because it is a valid act of yibim on the biblical level. But for us, it's forbidden to hold on to her for the second act of cohabitation because then you don't have any more. The asay the chalais asay because the mitzvah asay was really fulfilled on the first act of cohabitation. So the Mishnah continued and said, "Mase loy mase." If a Kohen Gadol has a relative that passed away, so we had a machlekes regarding how far, or if any, could he follow the mita, that of the coffin, on its way to being buried. So Tanah Rabbanan, one of the braisa that elaborates on this machlekes. The first opinion in our Mishnah, that of Reb Meir, he explains the pasuk that says, "Umin amikdash lo yetze," which is talking about in Be'yukah Chaval regarding the Kohen Gadol that's an oinim, meaning that lost a close relative. So it says he's not supposed to leave the mikdash. And the way we know it's a Kohen Gadol, because before that the Pasuk is saying, La'av v'le'im lo'yitam, it does not make himself richly impure to his father or to his mother, which only applies to the Kohen Gadol, because even the regular Kohen, for the seven close relatives, could make himself impure. So what does the Pasuk teach us, says Reb Meir? Lo'yitzei imahin, he's not allowed to go out with them, avol yitzehu acharin, but he could go out after them, meaning at a distance. Ketzad hauso, as our Mishnah explained, he nichsin v'hu nigla, when they're concealed, meaning because they already passed into the next alleyway, then he could reveal himself. He niglin v'hu nichsa, when they're revealed, they're in that alleyway, that mavi, then he has to conceal himself. That was the opinion of Reb Meir, in contrast to that of Reb Yehuda, says, no, you're not allowed to leave the mikdash at all. Now, Reb Meir continues explaining, and he says, v'yitzad pesach v'chula, and he could follow, just at a distance, just not seeing them, up until the opening of the gateway of the city, because that would then take them to the cemetery, which is beyond that point. That's the opinion of Remei again, whereas Rabbi Huda says that he's not allowed to leave the Mikdash at all. Now, the Gemara asks, Shapa kam Rabbi Huda, similarly Rabbi Huda, who in the Mishnah he says, it says that in the Mikdash leiteitze, he's not allowed to leave the Mikdash. How could Rabbi Meir say that he could leave just at a distance and go all the way to the city gates? So Amalach Rabbi Meir would say, I'll tell you that you can't say that in the Mikdash leiteitze means to say he's not allowed to leave the temple at all. Because, Ihach, if that would be the case, lebeisa nam eloi, what, you think he can't go home? Obviously, it doesn't mean he can't go home. Elahachi kamar. What it's saying is, when the mikdash leyetze, he's not allowed to leave the mikdash, means miktushasa leyetze, he should not leave from his sanctity. In other words, they should do a support system that should not cause him to leave his kedusha and become tummy. Which is, bekiven isleikero, according to my opinion, says Remeir, since there is a recognition, because he's never seeing them, although he's following, but then when it's only he's revealed when they're concealed, so leyasi lemingas, he's not going to come to touch, and that's all that's necessary. It doesn't mean he can't leave at all. Whereas Rabbi Huda, he says, no, agav mirare, because of the bitterness of his heart, the kango, the lost one of his close relatives, dima mikri v'asav anage, it might happen that he could come and he might come to touch it and become tummy. Therefore he learns, when the mikdash leitates, it means literally, you cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously it doesn't mean not to go home, but in regards to the funeral procession, he can't leave at all. Then the Mishnah continued explaining related halachas to the Kohen Gadol, is Kishu Menachim, when then he comes to console others. So he said when the shura, when the line would pass, in Talmudic times that's how they would do it, that they would pass the mourners, then the Kohen Gadol was in the middle. Now, the Gemara brings a braisa that elaborates on this halacha, Tarabon learned a braisa. Kishu Oivir B'shura L'Nachem Esachem, when the Kohen Gadol passes in the row to console others who they lost their relatives, so Sigan u'meshuach sha'avar b'minay, so the deputy to the Kohen Gadol and the anointed one, meaning the Kohen Gadol who had temporarily filled the spot of Kohen Gadol but then had then passed that on to the rightful Kohen Gadol, because if a Kohen Gadol, something happens and that he can't serve, they insert a different one. But when that person then comes back, the one who had taken his place gets demoted yet still has a certain elevated status. He's b'minay, though both of those are on the right side of the Kohen Gadol. The head of the court and the mourners and all the people there on the left side of the Kohen Gadol. Also, kishuhu oimid b'shura, when the Kohen Gadol is standing in the row, meaning that he lost a relative, u'mesnachem achem, and he's been consoled from others, then skan miminoi, the deputy's on the right side of the Kohen Gadol, v'reish beis av v'chol am mismailoi, and the head of the court and all the people are on the left side. Now, av meshuach sha'avar, however, regarding, which is conspicuously not in this second case, it was only mentioned when he's consoling others that it mentioned meshuach sha'avar on the right side. But however, regarding when he's being consoled, when the Kohen Gadol lost someone, there it doesn't mention meshuach sha'avar. It's because when something happens to the Kohen Gadol, as we said, so then we appoint someone else in his place, then when that temporary invalidation of the first one is removed, he goes back to take his post as Kohen Gadol. That second one we call meshuach sha'avar, that says the Gemara, lo yasigabe. There he doesn't come to console the Kohen Gadol, he's not mentioned where his place is. My time, what's the reason? Because chol shadaite, the Kohen Gadol could have a certain feeling of insecurity when, if he's going to come to console them, because sabr kachadibi, he's going to think that he's rejoicing at my mourning, because they had a very contentious relationship, they had a somewhat of a contentious relationship, because he took over his slot, and then when he comes back, he removes him, and now when he's, if something happens to him, it's somewhat of a rivalry, therefore he doesn't come to console the Kohen Gadol. Amra Papa. He says, Shema Mina Mahomasnita classes. From this price, within three halachas. First of all, Shema Mina, we learn from the fact that it references in this brisa that the skan was on the right side and the people was on the left side and the kohen was in the middle, that we learned that hainu skan, hainu memuna, that this, the brisa refers to skan, the deputy, who we know who he is. He's the appointed one that was mentioned in the mission that said that the memuna centers the kohen and the kohen girl in the middle and puts him between him and the people. Obviously, it means the skan, as the brisa clarifies that. Ushmamina, moreover, we also learned from the custom of the consolers of the row that the avelim oimdim, that the mourners, they stand in their place, v'cholo am oivrin, and all the people, they pass by person by person, and when they reach the mourner, they console them, and then they continue passing, from the fact that the Braisa says, keshu oivr l'nachim, when he's passing by to console, whereas as we find by when he's being consoled, says that he stands in the road to be consoled. So you see that the way it is that the more understand, and all the people pass by him. And the third halacha that we learn is Aveilim lesmoil hamanachim and hainoimdim, that the mourners stand to the left of the ones who are consoling them. And we know this from the fact that the Brisa says that the Avil and all the people were to the left of the Kohen Gadol, and he was one of the consolers, and still we see that the Aveilim are to the left of him, so we see that the ones who are consoling others, they're to the right, and the mourners are on the left. Now, Tanaban Limna Brisa, that Berishayna originally, as we said before, as an explanation of the halacha of the Mishnah, that originally that they would do is that the mourners would stand in their place and all the people would pass by consoling them. Now, the problem is, there were two families in Yerushalayim that were fighting one with the other. When it came time to console anyone that had lost a relative, this family said, I want to be the first one to pass by. This family said, no, we want to be the first ones to pass by. So they changed the custom that the people stand in one place and the mourners pass through, which is the current custom. Chazav ahalach v'sipr, a simon for the teachings of Rami Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yesi, are chazar halach sipr, which that's the sign, which is Amir Rami Bar Abba. The first teaching, he says, from the word chazar, hichzir Rabbi Yesi, because they're all regarding Rabbi Yesi, esadav aliyashna b'tzipayri, that Rabbi Yesi returned the old custom back to be the current one in Tzipayri. That as it used to be, which was that the mourners should stand in their place and all the people should pass by to console them. Additionally, V'amir Rami Bar Abba, another teaching that he says is Hiskun Rabbi Yisi B'Tzipayri, which Rabbi Yisi instituted in Tzipayri, is Shulaytei Isha Maleches B'Shuk, a woman should not be walking in the street, Ubena, and that her minor son should be walking Achareha, should not be like that, rather her child should be walking in front of her. And the reason for that is Mishmaisa Shahaya, because of a terrible story that happened where there were kidnappers that took the child who was walking behind his mother, and his mother didn't see because she was walking in front, and they took him and put him in the house. And when she turned around, she didn't see him, she started screaming and crying. So one of the kidnappers came and said, come and I'll show you where he is. And she followed after him into the house, and then they went and they afflicted the woman and in an appropriate way. And therefore, because of that incident, he instituted that the woman should have the child walk in front of her and not behind her. Additionally, Rami Bar Abba said that Hiskin Rabbi Yisi B'Tzipayri, another takan Rabbi Yisi made in Tzipayri was, she inoshim misapris, that women should talk one with the other, bebeis akisi, in the lavatory. And the reason is, mishum yichud, because of the prohibition of having a man and a woman being secluded in a place, because maybe a man might go to that bathroom, and if he doesn't hear people talking, he's going to enter and he's going to have yichud with them, because as the Mishnah teaches in Kedushin of Peyim Abeis, a man is not allowed to be secluded with two women, and this is a secluded place which their bathrooms were out in the fields, where they had it out in the outskirts of the city, and that's where everyone relieved themselves, so therefore he had them talk, so the man knows not to enter in there and violate the Isra of yichud. Continuing what we had mentioned before, Amar Rav Menashe Bar Us, he says, She'ilis as Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi, I consulted Rabbi Yeshua the Great, Beveis Almed Hutzel, when we were in the cemetery of Hutzel, V'amali, and he told me, Ein Shura Pechusim Asar B'nei Adam, this Shura, which we said, this halacha, which the customs had changed regarding who should stand and who should pass by, but that row can't be less than 10 people. And Ve'in Avelim in a minyan, the mourners themselves cannot be considered part of the quorum of the 10 people. And he also told me that it doesn't make a difference regarding the custom, Bein Shaveilim Oimdim V'Cholam Oivrim, whether if the mourners are standing and the people pass by, Bein Shaveilim Oivrim V'Cholam Oimdim, whether that the mourners are passing by, and although the people are standing, there's no problem with either one of those customs. Mishnah told us, Kishu Misnachim, now when the Kohen Gadol is being comforted, so the people tell him, Anu Kaparascha, we are your atonement. Now, Ibailu, the following question, Ki Menachem Hu Achrini, when the Kohen Gadol is comforting others, Hey Chamalu, how does he tell to those mourners? So Tashema, come in here, because the Brisa says, "V'hu oimer tisnechamu." The Kohen Gadol says to the others, "You should be comforted." Explains the Gemara. Hey Chidame, what's the Brisa talking about? Ile mikim menachem achrin lididei. If it's talking about when others are comforting him, Amaluhu ihu tisnechamu. He tells them, "You should be comforted." Nachsha karamaluhu. What is he cursing them? In other words, he's giving them a bad omen, as if they should be comforted, what, that they should have a loss to be comforted? They're comforting him, he's the loss, not they didn't have a loss. Ella rather, ki menachem l'achrini, must be talking about when he's comforting others, amalahu tisnacham, he tells them, you should be comforted, shema mena, that's the proof in the Braisa. When he's comforting others, he says tisnacham. Then the Gemara continues explaining that the Mishnah then moved on to melech, the laws of a king. So the Mishnah said, loy dan, that he's not allowed to judge, chulu, etc., and he doesn't get judged. Amrav Yisweeks, he qualifies Allah of a Mishnah. He says, Leishana ila Malchi Yisrael. That was only said regarding a king of the 10 tribes, which is called Malchi Yisrael. Of a Malchi Beis David, but the kingdom of the house of David, Don v'Don Enoisan. They do judge and they do get judged. That's still like it says the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, Beis David Koyamar Hashem. Hashem says this to the house of David. Dinu la Baikri Mishpat. Judge in the morning the judgment. Now, if we wouldn't be able to judge them, how would they judge others? The Chassidic says the Pasuk in Stefania, that seek out others and seek out yourself. V'amr Shlokesh explained, what the Pasuk is telling you is that first seek out yourselves. First adorn yourself, meaning first make yourself straight, judge yourself, and then judge others. So therefore you see that must be that if the house of David is judging, they get judged too. So Elamalchis from my time of. So the Gemara said, why is it that the kings of the 10 tribes that they don't judge and get judged like Malchus based David? So the Gemara Mishum Maisi because of the incident that happened. The Avdi the Yane Malka Kotel Nafsho, one of the slaves of Yane HaMelech murdered a person. So Amalu Shimon ben Shadrach lechacham. So Shimon ben Shadrach said to the sages, "Tenuei nechem boy." I went to the guys to look at him, but nedoinenu and judge him. In other words, judge him appropriately and don't flatter and don't go ahead and do anything otherwise because you're afraid of Yanei HaMelech. He murdered. He should be executed. So shalchu lei. So they sent to the king, "Avdach kotel nafsha." Your slave murdered someone. So Shadrach. So he sent his slave to go ahead and stand before the court. But Sholchulei, they still sent to Yanai, To'at nami lahacha, you also have to come to court. Because as the Pasuk says in Shemait, V'huad b'ba'olav, when there's a prosecution of a shor shenagach, when they're going to stone the ox, it has to be testified in front of the owners. So Amr Taira, the Taira says, Yavi ba'al ha'shor v'yamal ha'shor, that the owner of the ox has to stand by his ox when his ox is getting prosecuted. Here your slave is getting murdered, getting executed, you have to stand by the court too. So Asav Yasav, so Yanai Melch came and he sat. Amalei Shem Meshadach, so Shem Meshadach said to him, Yanei HaMelech, Amor al Raglecha, V'yidubach, Yanei the king, stand up on your feet and let them testify against you that your slave had murdered someone because a slave is like a donkey and it's a loss of money and therefore he has to stand trial for his money that is being lost. And moreover, just like a litigant has to stand, V'loi lefenei na to'emet, you're not standing just in front of us, Shem Meshadach said. You're standing in front of the one who said and the world came into being, meaning in front of Hashem. Like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, that the two people that for them have the dispute, they stand, etc., which the Pasuk says, in front of Hashem. So Amalei Siyan HaMelech responded to Shem B'Shatach, he says, not like the way you're saying. I'm going to do like your colleagues are saying. You're the only one making me stand. Let's hear from your colleagues, from the rest of the court. So as the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, Nifna, so Shem Meshadach turned Limina to his right side to see if they're going to back him up. And Kavshu Panem Bekarka, they stuck their head in the ground, meaning they were afraid of the king. Nifna Lismay, at least they turned to his left. But Kavshu Panem Bekarka, they also stuck their head in the ground. Amla and Shem Meshadach, so Shem Meshadach said to them, Bali Machshavas Atem, you men of thought, what you have your head down, you're all thinking. Yavib Machshavas, let the master of thought, who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yifrma came and punish you, Miyad bo Gavriel b'chavtum akarka v'mesa. So right away Gavriel the Malach came and knocked them in the ground and they died. But Yisra Shamra was at that moment that they said, Melech, regarding a king, Loidon v'loidon nois, as we see what the consequence of that was. We don't. He doesn't judge, neither do we judge him. He does not testify, neither do we testify against him. Moreover, the Mishnah continued and said that loy chalitz, a king does not do chalitz if his brother dies without any children. He does not do chalitz to his sister-in-law. Veloy chalitzin, and neither do they do chalitz to his wife if he dies without any children. Because anyway, it's forbidden for her to get married, as we said in the Mishnah, that you can't marry the widow of a king. Now, the reason why he doesn't do chalitz is because it's degrading for the king to have to come to court and have his sister-in-law spit on the floor in front of him. Now, moreover, b'chulu etc., which the Mishnah had said, that neither does he do yibum, because it's also degrading for him to have to take over the place of his brother to sire children from his sister-in-law for his brother's sake. And b'chulu etc., that the Mishnah then continued, said, b'yuda ima imratz alach, let's read this, said, no, if the king wants to do chalitz or yibum, he is allowed to. Now, that the Gemara asks, ini, is that so? How could Rabbi Yehuda hold that? Vamra Bashir Bashi said in the first paragraph that Kedushin Afilaman Domanasi Shamachal al Kavoid Kavoid Machal, even according to the one who holds that a leader of the Jewish people, a prince, that if he is forgiving on his honor is forgiven. But Melech Shamachal al Kavoid in Kavoid Machal. But if a king forgives his honor is not forgiven. He can't exchange that. He has to hold up his dignity. Shnei, like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, Saim Tasta Melech Hamelech. Place you shall surely place upon you a king, which tells us that his fear is all must be on you, and therefore he's not allowed to go be Michael. So if it's not honorable for him to do Yibum or Chalitza, how did Yehuda say that if he wants to, he could? And that says the Gemara, Mitzvah Shani. Yehuda holds that a mitzvah is different. That is honorable because although it's a degrading act, but it's for the sake of Shemayim, and there's nothing more honorable than performing a mitzvah. The Mishnah continues, it says, Ve'einoisim b'chulu, that one cannot marry the widow of a king. But Rabbi Huda said that it's permitted for a king to marry the widow of another king. Now, Tanya learned in the Braise said that Amar Rabbi Huda, they said to Rabbi Huda because his proof was that we see that David HaMelech, the Pasuk makes it sound like he married the widows of Shaul, which is the king marrying the widows of a king. So they said to Rabbi Huda, no, Nashim Haruyis Leimi Beis HaMelech, it's talking about women that's fit to him from the household of the king, which are those who are permitted to him, those are the ones he married, but he did not marry the wives of Shaul. My ninu, so who were the ones, the women from the household of the king that were permitted to him, were Meirav uMichal. Those were the daughters of Shaul that he married. Those are, but not that he married the, no one could marry, say the Chacham, the widow of a king, even the king himself. Now, Shaul Tamidav is Rabbi Yesi. So regarding this halacha and the incident of that David HaMelech had married Meirav and Michal, which Chacham said it was just the daughters, not the wives, so the students asked Rabbi Yesi, Heich nasa David shteachos b'chayein. How did David marry two sisters when they were both alive? That says it's explicit passing in the Torah. One cannot marry two sisters at the same time. So Amalehan, Rabbi Yesi said to them, no, Michal achar misas Meirav nasa. David only married Michal after Meirav had passed away. The issur of marrying two sisters only when they're both alive, and never wasn't a problem. Meshub ben Karchai, he gives a different approach. He says, Kedushi to'os ha'yilo b'meirav. It was an erroneous kedushin that he had done with Meirav, and therefore it wasn't like he was never married to her, and therefore there wasn't a problem to marry her sister Michal. Shlomach, it says a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, David HaMelech says to Shaul, T'no es ishti es Michal. Give me my wife, give me the Michal. Asher rasti li b'mea arlois plishtim, which I engaged her by giving you, the father, 100 of the foreskins of the Philistines. So the Gemara is my Talmud. What do you see from there that the condition he had in Meirav was a tos? Amra Papa, he says, because it says es ishti es Michal, to say Michal ishti, that Michal is my wife, v'lei Meirav ishti, Meirav was not my wife. So the Gemara clarifies my Kedushi toys. What was the error in the Kedushin that made it as if it was never Kedushin in the first place? The Silik, the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, it says, V'hoyah ha'isha she'er kenud, Shaul promised, whoever's going to be the man that's going to kill Goliath, so Yashrenu ha'melech isha godla v'gremis, so the king is going to give him an unbelievable amount of wealth, etc., which the Pasuk there continues, V'zbito yitinloin, is going to give him his daughter in marriage too. So Azul Katli, so as well known, David HaMelech went and killed Goliath. So Amar Loi, so Shaul said to David, Milva islach gaboy, alone you have by me, meaning great wealth is it that I owe you, but you never gave me any kedushin to go ahead and engage my daughter. I owe you something, I owe you money, and I owe you, and I said whoever's going to get it is going to get my daughter, but you never came and gave me a kedushin. It's like a loan, it's money that I owe you. And whoever engages a woman with a loan, as the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Kedushin at great length, the woman's not engaged, and therefore, although I have to give you a daughter, but I didn't say that I'm going to give it to you. You never gave me a kedushin. So Azul Yavo LeEdriel, he went and gave Meirav as a wife to Edriel. That's like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says Vehi be'eis tesis Meirav b'Shaul leDavid. It was a time when he was going to give Meirav, the daughter of Shaul, to David, which that it was really supposed to go to him. But Goyim etc. says the pasuk Vehi notno leEdriel hamacholase, but she was given over to Edriel and not to David. Now, Amalei says, Shaul said to David, he says, look, if you want that I should give you my daughter Michal, zil isli meya arlis plishtim, come and bring me 100 of the foreskins of Philistines. So Azul isli, he went and got him 100 arlis of the plishtim. So Amalei still, Shaul said, no. Milva upruta islach gabor. Okay, now I owe you a milva loan. I owe you a lot of money. I promise whoever kills Goliath gets a lot of money and my daughter. And moreover, pruta, because now besides the milvah, the loan, meaning money, that great wealth that I owe you because of Golias, now you also gave me something. You gave me something worth a pruta because you gave me these 100 foreskins. Now, Shal Savar, Shal held, which is a discussion in Masechtas Kedushin, that Milva Pruta, when someone gives a woman a loan, meaning she owes him a loan, and he also gives her a Pruta, the lowest denomination, to create a Kedushin, Daite, the intention, the focus of the one who's making the Kedushin, is to be Mekadesh Amilva, on the loan, because that's something significant, and therefore it's not going to be Kedushin, and therefore he went and gave even Michal to Palti Ben Lyash. Whereas Vadavid Savar, David disagreed, and he held Milva Upruta, Daite Pruta, when a man has by a woman a loan that she owes him, and moreover, he gave her a pruta, that his intention is on the pruta that he's giving her, and therefore he called Michal as Ishti, my wife, because he held that that was a valid kedushin. Or if you want, you could say that actually the kula alma milva pruta daita pruta. Both David and Shaul, everyone agreed that if someone has a loan and gives a pruta, the intention is on the pruta. But so then why didn't Shaul hold that she was engaged to David? Is because Shaul Savar loy chazav lemidi. The 100 foreskins wasn't even worth a pruta. So therefore wasn't even a pruta, it was just a milva, and therefore she wasn't engaged. Even Michal wasn't engaged to David. Whereas with David Savar chazav lekalbi, Vishunu David held that no, the 100 foreskins are worth a pruta, because you can give it to dogs and to cats, and therefore it has utility, and therefore it is a shavah pruta, and therefore he's engaged to Michal. Now the Gemara asks, so Reb Yasi, according to Reb Yasi, who he had answered regarding the original question, how could he have married two sisters when they were both alive? He said, no, actually, Michal was married only after Meirav, but they were both valid Kedushin. In contrast to Bishu Ben Karcha, who he had said that, no, there was actually Kedushin Toos in Meirav, and therefore there was no problem about marrying Michal even when Meirav was still alive. So Kondra B'Yisi, Hai Tano Es Ishti Es Michal, this that we said that there's a double terminology, is redundancy, Es Ishti Es Michal, which we had said sounds like, okay, that only Michal was my wife and Meirav was not my wife. My Darish Bey, what does Reb Yisi expound on that? Because he does not expound that, and not Meirav my wife, because he said that no, both Meirav and Michal were married to David. The only problem was is that, so how can you marry two sisters? He said that he only married Michal after Meirav. So then what does he do with the extra terminology of Es Ishti Es Michal? Says the Gemara, Reb Yisi L'tamei, Reb Yisi actually goes according to his opinion elsewhere, which according to him, we can understand what does he use with as ishti. Because the Tanya learned the Brayser, Reb Yisi how Yiderish Mekrois Muravin. Reb Yisi expounded psukim that seem to have the names mixed up. Ksiv, the pasuk in Shmuel Bey says, V'yikach HaMelech Eshnei B'nei Ritzpa Bas Aya. David HaMelech, the king, took the two sons of Ritzpa, the daughter of Aya, Asher Yodu L'Shal, which gave birth to Shal, Esar Meiniv Es Mifi Baishas, and Chameshes B'nei Michal, the five sons of Michal, Asher Yodu L'Edriel HaMecholasi B'Gayma. They gave birth to Edriel the Mechalasi. Now, the question is, V'chila Edriel Nitna? Was Michal given to Edriel by Shal? V'halol L'Palti Ben Laish Nitna? No, Meirav was given to Edriel. Michal herself was given over to Palti Ben Laish. That's something like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. V'shal Nosnes Michal Bitoi, Eishes David. He gave Michal his daughter, who was really the wife of David, L'Palti Ben Laish V'gaymer. Ella, rather, makish kedushay Meirav l'Adriel. Rather, it's coming to equate, to compare, the kedushin that Meirav had to Adriel, the kedushay Michal l'Palti, that was the kedushin of Michal t'Palti, which is ma kedushay Michal l'Palti b'aveir, just like the engagement of Michal t'Palti was in sin, because that clearly, David said, Ishti Michal, my wife Michal, as the Gemara says, the kedushin of Memzayin Man Aleph, that when you mekadesh b'milva upruta, the intention is on the pruta, and therefore she was engaged to David, and therefore her subsequent marriage to Palti was in sin. Of kedushin Meirav le'Adriel b'aveir, so too it's comparing, when it's saying es ishti, es Michal, it's coming to compare the one wife to the other wife, to that of Michal, to say that just like Michal was in sin, so too Meirav was in sin, which is exactly like the opinion of Reb Yisi, that he holds that David was mekadesh both Meirav and Michal, and therefore it was a sin with both husband, with Adriel and Palti, and the reason why it wasn't a problem about engaging two sisters when they're both alive, because it wasn't according to Bisi, that Meirav was first, and then she died, and then he engaged Michal. Now the Gemara says, however, but Reb Shuben Karchanami, Haksiv es chameshes b'nei Michal b'ashol, what does he do with that pasuk? Which a pasuk seems to mix up Michal married to Adriel, which she wasn't, which seemingly should be the interpretation of Reb Yisi to tell us his interpretation that both of them were in sin. But according to Reb Shimon Karach's interpretation, when Meirav subsequently married Adriel, it was not in sin because it was kedushin to us with David and she was never engaged to David. And then Amachar Reb Yishui says, no. Yes, it mixes up the attributions, but it doesn't come to say the drush like Reb Yisi says. Because Tachi Michal Yaldo? Forget about that, it mixes up who Michal was married to. You think Michal gave birth to those five sons? Well, they Merv Yaldo. Merv gave birth to those five sons. Rather, Merv Yaldo u Michal Gadla must be that, to explain the Pasuk, it was the children of Adriel. So why does it say that Michal to Adriel if it wasn't that case? Not like Rabbi Isi. Rather, it's because, yes, Merv gave birth to those five children, but Michal brought them up. She nurtured them. That's why the Pasuk says that they were the children of Michal. And they were called after her. Lametra comes to teach this lesson. Whoever brings up an orphan in his house, the Pasuk considers it as if he gave birth to them, but of course it wasn't Michal, and it was Merav, just because she brought up her daughter's kids. And if it's not a contradiction to Rabbi Shu ben Karcha, really it was that Merav and Michal were alive at the same time, and yeah, Michal was not married to Adriel, and neither did they come to teach that just like her marriage was in sin, so too Adriel's marriage to Merav was in sin, and it rather comes to teach that she had brought up her sister's kids. Now, the Gemara actually continues on this theme and brings the names of Amiram and their sources for the same idea, which is Chanina regarding Kara, regarding being called, Yochanan, the Ishtay and his wife, Elazar, and Vegeula, Vishmuel, Belimudai, Simon, that's the Simon mnemonic for the Amiram, and their sources for the same idea. Bechanina Aymer Mahacha, he says, a source is from Pasuk in Rus, which we said Chanina is Kara, because it says, Vatikrenu lehashchein is shame lamer, that her neighbors called her a name saying, Yulad ben Lanami, that a son was born for Nami. Not Bechinami Yalda, did Nami give birth to that child? But like Rus Yalda, Rus gave birth to that child. Rather, Rus Yaldo Benami Gilda is because Rus gave birth to the child, but Nami brought up the child. That's what it's called on the name. Again, the same idea. Rabbi Yechon Amar Mahacha, he brings a source in the Pasuk Divrei Yomim Aleph, which we said that it says Yechonan V'ishta, it's from V'ishta and his wife, which the Pasuk is talking about Kalev Ben Yefuna, HaYehudus, who she was called Yehudiya, because she denied Avodah Zarah from her father's household, that of Paray, and she converted to Judaism. And the reason is because whoever denies Avodah Zarah is called a Yehudi. As the Pasuk in Daniel Gimel says, Esi Guvrin Yehudain, the mighty ones, Yehudain, because they were denying Avodah Zarah, came. Now, Yalda as Yered, she gave birth to Yered Avi, the father of Gedor, the Gomer, which actually these are all names of Meshur Abenu, which is he's known as Avigdor, etc. Eile b'nei Bisya b'aspari, these are the children, the sons of Bisya, the daughter of Paray. Asher lokach Mered, which Mered had taken as a wife. Now, Mered zeh Kalev. Mered is Kalev. V'lov b'nekosh my Mered, why is his name called Mered? Shemorad batzas meragim, because he rebelled against the council of the spies who wanted to say bad about Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't. Now, the question on this pasuk is, v'chi Bisya yalda, did Basya give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? V'lo Yecheved yalda. Yecheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ella rather teaches the same idea. Yecheved yaldo Bisya gadla. Yecheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, but Bisya brought him up in the palace of Paray. That's why the pasuk considers her the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Elazar Mamahachi brings a different source. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Ga'alta bezroya amecha, you redeemed with your arm your people, b'nei Yaakov and Yosef sela, the children of Yaakov and Yosef forever." Not b'chi Yosef yalad, did Yosef give birth to the Jewish people? But the Yaakov yalad, the 12 tribes came from Yaakov. El Yaakov Yalad v'Yosef Kilkel, rather it's because Yaakov gave birth to them, but Yosef supported them in Mitzrayim. L'fikach Nikra Shemai, that's why they're called on his name. Now, a similar halacha, Amar B'Shmul Ban Nachmenu, Amar B'Yonasan, he says, Kol HaMelamed Ben Chaver Taira, whoever teaches his friend's son Taira, Ma'alav HaKasav Kilkel Yalad, the Pasuk considered as if he gave birth to him. Shnamak says, the Pasuk in B'Midbar says, V'Ela told us Aaron HaMoshe, these are the children of Aaron HaMoshe. Uksiv, then it says, after that, V'Ela Shmais B'nei Aaron, and these are the sons, the names of the sons of Aaron, and it only then says the sons of Aaron, and it never mentions the sons of Moshe. Laim L'cha, because it comes to tell you, Aaron Yalad U'Moshe Limit, because, yeah, Aaron gave birth to them, but Moshe Rabbeinu taught them, L'fikach Nikra Shema, that's what they're called, the children of Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk in Yeshaya says, L'chein koyomar Hashem al Beis Yaakov. Therefore says Hashem to the household of Yaakov, Asher Pades Avram, which redeemed Avram. Now the question is, V'chi heichin mitzinu b'Yaakov shepedor l'Avram. Where do we find that Yaakov redeemed Avram Avinu? So Amar Yehudi says, Shepedoi mitzar gidl banim. Because as we mentioned before, that all of Klal Yisrael comes from Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu redeemed Avram Avinu from the pain of bringing up children, because really the effort of bringing up the 12 tribes is really incumbent upon Avraham Avinu. Because the Pasuk says in Bereshit Chavav, Hashem says, Verbesi ezaracha, I will increase your children. Really, these 12 tribes should have been a responsibility on Avraham Avinu. And but Yaakov ended up doing it, and he, so to speak, redeemed Avraham Avinu from that. And that's what the pasuk says over there. Loyata yevish Yaakov v'gomer. Therefore, not now will Yaakov be embarrassed. What that means to say is loyata yevish Yaakov ma'aviv, that Yaakov will not be embarrassed from his father. But loyata panavichvara. Now, neither will his face turn white. Me'avi aviv from his grandfather from Avraham Avinu, because of his great responsibility of bringing the shvatim. He in that way surpassed them, and he's not going to be embarrassed from them. Now, we mentioned before regarding the marriage of David to Michal, that Shaul had taken his purported wife and given her to Palti ben Laish. Now, the Gemara asks, Ksiv, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says that his name was Palti. Palti, the son of Laish. Uksiv, the problem is in Shmuel Beis, it calls him Paltiel. What was his real name? So Amr B'Yechon, and he says, Palti Shema, his name was Palti. V'lamanekar Shmuel Paltiel, why is it called Paltiel? Shepoltoi el min aver. It's alluding to the fact that Hashem saved him from sin. Ma'as, so what did he do? No'atz cherev beinoy lebeino, that although Palti was married to Michal, because Shaul had taken her and given her to Palti, but he went and stuck a sword between him and his wife Michal. Amar, and he said, kolo isik bedabazeh, whoever involves himself in this thing regarding intimacy between him and his wife, yidaka becharazeh, will be pierced with this sword. He took measures, understanding the situation that she was really married to David, not to go ahead and do that, and therefore it, actually having something as graphic as a sword separating them. Now the Gemara asked them that, however, the pasuk says Shmuel Beis beyelech ito isha, that her husband went with her. Now it's calling him her husband, which sounds like that he had relations with her, because that's what makes someone an ish to a woman. So the Gemara, no, shenasa lo ki isha, that he was as if a husband to her, because he made her great and he made her dear to him. Therefore, it calls him isha, but he never had intimacy with her. But the Gemara still asks, but v'ksiv, the pasuk says over there when he was leaving her, it says halach uvacha, he was going and crying after her, which means with great difficulty he let her go back to David. So we see as if they were intimate. So the Gemara, no, ala mitzvah de azlamine. He was crying because of the great mitzvah that he had, that he had to separate himself from her. Now that great nisayon passed, he was crying because he lost that great opportunity of not being intimate with her. Now the Gemara, the pasuk there says that when he was taking leave of her and he was following after her crying, it says that ad bachurim, till the place of bachurim. Now, however, the Gemara expounds that by saying shenasur shnim kibachurim, that they both came like youth. Because they had never tasted the taste of intimacy, that even though they were older, it says they were like youth who didn't have that, they were the same way. Now, Amr B'Yechon, he comments on this, and he says, Toikfish al Yosef, the great might of Yosef, the great incident that he had with, that he was tempted in seduction in Mitzrayim, was anvesenusa shel Bayaz, was like a little thing for Bayaz, where, because his test was that much greater than that of Yosef. Because the term of anava is not to be confused. It means something that's not so significant. It means to say someone that acts out of innocence, like a child who's just being who they are. It wasn't such a big deal for Bayez. It was something like small. Tugfish al Bayez, the greatness of the test of Bayez, was anvesenusish al Palti ben Laish, was like something small of kid's play for Palti ben Laish, as the Gemara explains. Tugfish al Yosef anvesenusish al Bayez, the reason why the great test that Yosef had, although he's tested by Ashes Paitifa, was like a small thing for Bayaz, because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says in Rus, Vahi b'chatzi halayla, was in by middle of the night, V'yechard ha'ish v'yilofis, and the man shuddered and was yilofis, because as the Pasuk there concludes in Rus, Perek Gimel, V'hine isha shecheves margalaysa, behold, a woman was laying there on his feet. Now, my v'yilofis, what does it mean v'yilofis? Amar Rav, he says, Shenasa b'sari, means to say that his flesh, that of his male member, was kirashe lefasis, like was the tips of turnips. It was so hard. And even so, he subdued his inclination, even though she was single, and even though she was already with him in his bed. In contrast, Yosef, it was a severe isser. It was that of a married woman. And obviously, she has a husband who's going to stick up for her. And more, but she wasn't with him in the bed. So that shows how greater was the test of Bayaz than that of Yosef. Whereas, as you continue in Tabach of Chaf Men Aleph, Tugfish al Bayez, the great test of Bayez, was anvesenusish al Palti ben Laish, was like a small thing for Palti ben Laish. Kedemar, like we said, because Bayez was only one night. Palti for many years had this a beautiful wife, and still he had a sword and he never went and had intimacy with her. Now continue on this theme. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he says, "Ma'idach say, what does it mean the pasuk in Mishlei? It says, Rabbis bonus asu choyel. Many daughters were valiant in their fight. Va'at olis al kolana. However, you rose up above all of them. Rabbis bonus asu choyel. When it says many daughters waged the war, ze Yosef and Bayez, that refers to Yosef and Bayez, where although they were valiant in their efforts in their resistance to temptation, but when it says va'at olis al kolana, but you are greater than all of them, ze palti ben Lahish, as we said, that was his test was greater than all of them. Amr Shmuel ben Nachman, Amr Bienes, and says, Ma'idach said, what is it then? How do we explain the next pasuk in this, the Mizmer of Eishes Chayil and Mishlei, that says, Sheker Hachein, false is grace, Behevel Ayefi, and beauty is empty, is vain. Sheker Hachein, that grace is false, Zay Yosef, that refers to Yosef, as we said, regarding his test. Behevel Ayefi, and beauty is vain, Zay Bayez. Yiris Hashem Itisal, the fear of Hashem, that should be praised, Zay Palti Ben Layesh, as we said, the same idea. Davar Acher, a different interpretation in this pasuk is Sheker Hachein, false is grace. Zederi Shel Moshe refers to the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, where they learned Torah. Vehevla Yoifi, but and vain is beauty. Zederi Shel Yeshua. Yiras Hashem Itisal, that the fear of Hashem that should be praised. Zederi Shel Chizkiah, that's a generation of Chizkiah. Or Davar Acher, a different interpretation, one step further. Sheker Hachein, that false is grace, Zederi Shel Moshe B'Yeshua, that's a generation of Moshe and Yeshua where they learned a lot of Torah. But Vehevla Yefi, beauty is vain, Zederi Shel Chizkiah, where that's not false anymore, it's vain, but it's not false, that's a generation of Chizkiah where actually they learned more Torah. As the Pasuk says in Yeshayah Perek Yod, it says, V'chevel oil mepnei shemen, which the Gemara Nachelik later on, the Tzadik Dalma Beis explains, that the yoke of Sennacherib was broken because of the shemen of Chizkiah, because he went and lit oil on all the Batei Midrashas, and they didn't let anyone leave until they checked from Dan all the way till Be'er Sheva, and they didn't find one Am Haaretz. That's by the generation of Chizkiah. But Yiras Hashem Mitisal, the fear of Hashem, that should be praised, which the greatest generation of them all, Zederi Shel Rabbi Yehuda Bar Biloy. Because as the Gemara says, Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda Bar Biloy, Shehayu Shisha Tamid Miskasin B'talas Achas, there would be six students covering themselves with one cloak because they were very poor, and yet V'oiskim B'Torah, and still they went and toiled in Torah.